Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own rookie rundown. As always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the social medias at Salad Galore. That is Dallas spelled backwards with double L galore. And it is great to be here with you all talking rookies. We are inching ever so close to the 2024 NFL draft. And that means it's time to start locking things in. I've talked about a lot of prospects over the last couple of months, really almost a calendar year of talking about prospects, if you think about it, with prospect premonition during the season, my early ranks prior to last season, and then everything that's been going on during the offseason with my episodes. But as I mentioned in last week's episode, if you have not listened to it yet, it was the mid-round forgotten names list. I went over a lot of running backs and wide receivers that I have done tape on, done ranks on. I went over their strengths, their weaknesses, their pro comparisons as prospects of what you could expect them to do, basically based off of the type of style that they play their game to, as well as my prediction on when they get drafted or if they get drafted on some of the prospects. A total of 17 players in last week's episode. So if you didn't listen, go ahead and take a gander at that one. That one will go a lot more in depth than today's episode. Today will be more of a note sharing and a true comparison aspect. So I'm going to be covering my top 12 at the quarterback and at the tight end position, as well as my top 20 at the running back position and top 25 at the wide receiver position. I will be doing this all in alphabetical order, broken down by position. So these will not be my final ranks and tiers. That will be next week's episode. But today I'm going to basically break down quick hitters on all of these prospects. It is a total of 60, 74 players. So I will be going pretty in depth really with the quantity. These are all players that are on my top 12s and 25 lists, as I mentioned, and I'm going to be giving you the stylistic comparisons that I have locked in for these players and what you should expect at the next level from these players. Obviously, I'm going to say this one time and one time only. Draft capital will dictate everything. Landing spot will also dictate everything on these players, their success. No one can truly predict it. We just kind of have to hedge our bets. But if the cards align for these players, these are the profiles that I expect them to match most closely at the NFL level. Again, this is in no particular order. It is alphabetical specifically, not tier-based, not ranked-based. That will be next week's episode where I give you my final notes on the draft prior to the draft actually popping up so you can be fully prepared for those immediate rookie drafts that pop up after next week's NFL draft. without further ado, let's hop into the quarterback position here. We will start with the first quarterback of note on my list, Mr. Bo Nix out of Oregon. He is a system quarterback, in my opinion. I'm going to give you a little bit of down low on all these players and why I comp them the way that I do. So system quarterback with an average arm, extremely good with a rhythm-oriented passing, and extremely good, even surprisingly, underneath blitz situations, but he has to be schemed up to be successful.
he is this year's Mac Jones for me. I'm not in love with him. I understand why people may like him. His passing acumen and stats are good, but I think he lacks the overall creativity that you're going to need at the next level. And the fact that you have to scheme him up as much as you do, we've seen him when you don't do that at Auburn, and when you do at Oregon, it is a much different Bo Nix. So that is something to consider, but he is the Mac Jones of this year's class. And next quarterback in alphabetical order is Caleb Williams out of USC. Not a lot of holes in Caleb Williams' game. Very, very good system, quick rhythm, West Coast style quarterback. He has some good athleticism, some good escapabilities, and some highlight reel athletic rushing plays, but it's not what he predicates his game off of. He wants to be a pocket passer. He wants to be a accurate striker and surgeon. He reminds me of Alex Smith coming out. That's the type of prospect and type of player that you can get in the same capacity of how it took Alex Smith some time with a very bad team around him. If for some reason what the Bears have done on offense does not successfully help out Caleb Williams, you are going to see the same struggles with that type of play system and that type of, anxious play, basically, that Alex Smith played for the first couple of years. Next quarterback on the list is Mr. Drake May out of UNC. Drake May has all of the tools, the size, the rushing ability, the accuracy when he's not being pressured to be amazing at the next level. Peaks are very, very high. The valleys can be low at times and can be frustrating. His decision making and ability to play, I guess, hero ball to force type of things is very reminiscent of me for Mr. Blake Bortles when he was coming out. It's the same type of prospect. And I know what you're saying, like, oh, you're comping Drake May to Blake Bortles. I thought you liked him. I thought you had him high. I do. Blake Bortles was ranked very highly coming out of college. He was drafted third overall. It is one of those players that, if he hadn't flamed out, we would be talking about him in a much better light. He did have two back-to-back incredible seasons for Jacksonville. And there was talks about Blake Bortles getting a very big contract. And he was drafted as a top 12 quarterback multiple years in fantasy. People just like to forget about that aspect. That's what I see with Drake May. The highs can be very good. If he can string it together, he will be electric and a pro bowler. If not, it could flame out. That's kind of the motto with every player, but that's kind of what I see with him. That type of size, physicality, laser arm, and he likes to really test deep downfield, which is what Blake liked to do a lot coming out as well. Next quarterback on the list is Jaden Daniels out of LSU. This is the comp I feel the most confident in. Electric rushing ability, but an inability to understand when to go down. Good deep passing, very accurate underneath, but still could be better with the overall consistency of his plays. Reminds me exactly of Teddy Bridgewater coming out of Louisville. That's what I see with Jaden Daniels. Electricity, his athleticism is nice. It's not like next level Lamar style, and he's not big enough to be the Josh Allen or Cam Newton. It's good. It's serviceable. He wants to be a passer, but he can't escape when needed. I see a lot of Teddy in Jaden Daniels. Next J is Mr. J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. This is a guy that I think when all the cards are stacked correctly for him, he can be very, very good and very, very consistent with his underneath accuracy. His over-the-top accuracy on extremely guarded plays can be a little bit questionable, and he has a sneaky amount of athleticism to his game that I think a smart GM and a smart coach will use early on. He reminds me a lot of Mitchell Trubisky. It's the same type of question marks that I had. The overall reps, the overall amount of throws that he had in college is very reminiscent of Trubisky as well. Overall, I still don't know exactly what he is. And because of that capacity, it's a perfect match. It's the same type of flaws, the same type of arm talent, the same type of athleticism, and the question marks about what are you going to be able to do with this moldable clay at the next level. The next J-name, Mr. Jordan Travis out of SSU. For those of you that have not listened to my stuff, I am pretty high on Jordan Travis. I like him a lot. He has a lot of very, very good things to his game. He just, for some reason, isn't being talked about, most likely because if he's an out of sight, out of mind type of guy. Realistically, he's going to go in that third or fourth range, but he's got athleticism, extremely, extremely underrated athleticism. He can pull away. He's the type of Mahomes-esque runner where it's like, oh, damn, well, he just broke our backs with a 15-yard run on third down, and now they have a change of downs just because we didn't expect him to run. That's what Jordan Travis is. His deep ball accuracy is extremely good. He's aggressive with his throws. And sometimes his decision-making, because he's aggressive, can get him into trouble, but it's not due to the physical tools. He's very accurate. He has a very, very solid release. He reminds me a lot of Josh Dobbs coming out of Tennessee. I see a very similar player in him, and we've seen tons of success from Josh Dobbs throughout the last couple of years in the NFL. Specifically, 2023 was very reminiscent of what Jordan Travis could be at the next level. Next quarterback, Keaton Slovis, BYU. He is the forgotten USC guy. Everyone's chasing that dragon of his rookie season, but he's a big armed athlete. He can throw everything under the moon. He's got a very strong arm, but his decision making leaves a lot to be desired, and his ability to actually run an offense effectively for a long period of time is a very big question mark I have for Keaton Slovis. He's kind of had two very mediocre years since really two promising years at USC with BYU. I see a lot of Mason Rudolph in Keaton Slovis. That's kind of where I see him, and so that's my comp for him. Not super high on him, but he is inside my top 12. Next quarterback of note, Michael Penix out of Washington. This one's an easy comp for me. I see a lot of Jared Goff. Not a lot of flaws overall in Michael Penix's game. Played a pro scheme offense, very accurate, very smooth ball out of his hands, very catchable ball. Not a ton of athleticism that you see on tape, but he has the ability to climb up in the pocket, maneuver in the pocket, and not take those sacks. Jared Goff, very easy comp for him, very similar ceiling. And we've seen the type of success that Jared Goff has had now that he's not relied upon to be the savior on the team. He's just using the weapons around him. If Michael Penix can land in a spot similar to what Jared Goff has now, i.e. somewhere like Seattle or Minnesota are the two most favorite projected ones, we could see a lot of success from this guy early on. Next quarterback is Michael Pratt out of Tulane. This one is a very much a hard read. So he's a tale of 2 years is what I would say. One of success, one of injury riddled question marks. That's kind of what you got from my comp for him as well, but very accurate underneath. Decision-making is suspect at times, and he doesn't have that good of an arm. So that suspect decision-making can really get him into trouble. Michael Pratt reminds me a lot of Davis Mills coming out of Stanford. That's the type of prospect I see. He could be a spot starter, but I would not want to rely on him to be my full-time starter at the quarterback position. Next on the board is Mr. Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina. All the physical tools, all the physical makeups to be a successful NFL quarterback, but very, very big question marks when it comes to can he string it together? Decision-making is pretty bad, like abysmal. Tries to force it over-reliant on his tools and doesn't learn from his mistakes very well. This all sounds exactly like Drew Locke to me, and that's who my comp for Spencer Rattler is. You could see some highs. You could see some promise early on in his career. He may be drafted in that same second or third round range and given a shot down the road, maybe even next year. But I think it's the same type of success that you're going to see with Drew Locke. A couple of games here or there, but just really inconsistent bad play outside of those games. And then the last quarterback to bring up and talk about here is Baby Tua, Talia Tungavailoa out of Maryland. He is a very underrated quarterback for me. Very, very extremely accurate underneath, has a little bit more scooting and rushing ability than he likes to be given. He's a little bit undersized as a quarterback prospect as well. But what I love is his aggressive, like cockiness nature that he has compared to his brother. He's way more aggressive of a personality, and it shows in his play. He's not afraid to take those risks. He reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield. I see a lot of similarities. He was playing with absolutely no one at Maryland and was still keeping that team afloat, even if the win category wasn't there. He was just slinging it left and right. He's a really fun prospect. I encourage everyone who has not watched him to go and actually watch some Talia tape because it's pretty fun. All right, that is the quarterback position. Moving on to the alphabetical list for my comps at running back. The first one is Mr. Audric Esteem out of Notre Dame. Audric Esteem, big bruiser, lacks some athleticism, but a surprising amount of pull-away speed is still in his game. He's a very smart runner. He's a very physical runner, and he's a very big boy. This all sounds like a running back that has been severely underrated up until this year, where we finally got to see him get the lion's share of the carries and still continue that career rushing percentage above 5 yards per carry. I'm talking about Gus Edwards in Baltimore, now with the Chargers. Very similar backs, very similar styles, and a very pungent force that you can have on your NFL offense with a back that does not take shit from anyone. Next running back here is Mr. Blake Corum. This one feels lazy every time I do it, but it just makes a lot of sense. It is a back that runs the ball extremely well, but does not have the physical traits to most likely succeed as a true grinded out three down back on an offense that has explosive nature to it. Blake Corum out of Michigan reminds me of Devin Singletary. Very good back. You love the tape when you see it, and he runs the ball how he's supposed to. It's just always going to be limited at the NFL level when you're not the best athlete. It's a very similar type of mold. We'll get to it of a guy later on my list here in Bucky Irving, but it's just kind of what I see. Next on the list, Mr. Blake Watson out of Memphis. This one's fun, and this one's actually pretty easy for me. A smaller, undersized guy with electric pop ability in the pass game and juke ability in the open field. Tariq Cohen, that's what I see when I see Blake Watson. He's a new age running back, never will be a feature, but he could very easily see 80 targets a season, and I wouldn't be super shocked. He has that level of ability in the pass game and being a true third down weapon for a team. Going on to the biggest back in this year's class, Mr. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. This one was another one that's actually pretty easy for me. People forget about my comp for him, what he was like prior to his very serious Achilles injury. I'm talking about Donta Foreman. Braylon Allen has the same athletic traits, physical makeup, basically, that 6'3", 200 and almost 40 pounds, and a good amount of pop to his game. He is a very nuanced runner, which is what Donta Foreman is as well. He's not just a hammer that runs it up. Even to this day, Donta Foreman is sticking around and getting a lot of work in offenses because he runs the ball well. It's just his athleticism was zapped. He doesn't have the upper echelon ceiling that Braylon Allen still has due to his athleticism. So it's something that's very enticing to me and the reason that I have him higher than most people in their ranks. Going on to the next running back, in alphabetic order, Mr. Bucky Irving out of Oregon. This one is a little bit more, he has just a little bit more pop than what Blake Corum has, but his tape is very good. It's exciting to see what he could be at the next level, but I don't think he's ever going to be a true three-down runner. Devin Singletary was what I wanted to use, but he actually reminds me a good amount of Kenyon Drake, just from a play style. He's a little bit more linear than what a Blake Watson is. He's a little bit less shifty is what I would say than what a Blake Watson is. But he's a little bit better than Blake Corum. And so when it comes to athletic matrix, I see very similarly between Devin Singletary and Kenyon Drake. Can be a contributor, has really good tape. Like I said, I just don't think he can be a true three down back. And so that's the kind of feel I get when I saw Bucky Irving's tape. The next one on the list is Cody Schrader out of Mizzou. He's one of the best runners in this year's class. His athleticism just left a lot to be desired at the next level. Kyren Williams would be a fun one, but he's significantly larger than Kyren Williams, a guy that took a little bit of time to get successful in the NFL due to his lack of athleticism, making teams not really want to give him a lion's share carry. Zach Moss. Cody Schrader could be Zach Moss at the next level. He just got a payday. He's now the starter in Cincinnati, Mr. Moss. And so that's the type of career you could see him as a backup or a rotational back the first 2 years, move on to another team, and then be very successful when he actually gets the rock. Mr. Dejon Edwards out of the University of Georgia. This one, he's a linear runner, but he runs very well, very smart. You can use him in power or in gap, underrated pass catcher, and enough burst to be successful. But can he latch on to a team? That's kind of where I'm at with Dejon. Kylan Hill out of Texas A&M is what I see a lot in Dejon. I was a little bit higher than most on Kylan Hill when he was coming out. I'm a little bit higher than most on Dejon Edwards. Kind of a good mix of power and speed is what I would say. And that's what I see with Dejon Edwards. He runs how you're supposed to and is just pretty underrated overall in this class. All right. Next running back, Mr. Dylan Lauby out of the University of New Hampshire. Great pass game running back. Question marks about his durability, question marks about his ability to be a true running back as opposed to a pass game weapon. I see a lot of DJ Dallas, former Miami Gator, kind of underutilized in his time at Florida, but in the NFL has seen success when given a third down opportunity. I think that's what you're going to see with Dylan Lauby. I'm not 100% positive of whether or not he's going to be drafted early. It's dependent on how much people actually lean in and love that pass catching ability, but it is pretty fun. All right, next up is Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State University. I already went into his breakdown in depth on last week's episode, so I won't go to it now, but I will reiterate the comp. I see a lot of Tyler Allgeier in Isaiah Davis. It's the same type of prospect, a big bruising guy with underrated athleticism and great hands, very similar to Tyler Allgeier. Another guy I also talked about in last week's episode, so go back and listen to that one because I'm not going to dump a lot of info on these guys here. It is Jace McClellan out of Alabama. I see a lot of Royce Freeman in Jace McClellan. Upright runner, very, very physical and can pound the rock, has underrated pass catching capability and comes from a good program. Royce Freeman, a lot of Jace McClellan. Royce Freeman stuck around for like over a decade, basically, in the NFL. Could see a very similar one going on with that there. And moving on from Jace McClellan, another running back that hasn't been talked about a lot in the dynasty space, but has some fun capabilities. He's just very undersized. Jawar Jordan out of Louisville was a fun 1-2 punch with Isaac Guerdo, the combine darling guy that ran a lot. Very much a quick twitch pass catching back. That's what you're getting in Jawar Jordan. I see a lot of Darwin Thompson, who ended up going to Kansas City. A lot of hype around him, but his undersized nature kind of limited what he could do at the next level and limited his upside. You have the same question marks with Jawar Jordan, but there's a lot of pop in his game that you could love on a fun offense like Kansas City. Going on to the next running back, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. This one is a pretty easy one. So straight line runner, but one of the better runners in this year's class. Eats up space and has tons of athleticism at a very, very good prototypical running back size. Was 99th percentile out of the running back position in the combine measurements. I see a lot of J.K. Dobbins in Jalen Wright. Could be used in the pass game more. Same question marks with J.K. Dobbins. Hopefully the injury history is a lot better for Jalen Wright in the next couple of years than it was for J.K. Dobbins across his rookie season. But that's the type of prospect and the type of player I think you're getting. It's a fun comp that I really have landed on one of my favorite running backs in this year's class. Going on to the next one, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. This is a lot of fun athleticism and ability to work in space. I just have question marks now in a post-injury world of what we're going to get from Jonathan Brooks. I see a lot of Cam Akers, a lot of people living and dying by Jonathan Brooks this year. It's the same type of feeling I had with Cam Akers coming out. I like his tape. It's fun. Do I think it's otherworldly? No. Could it be very good at the next level? Yes. He just has to show me that he can do it post-injury, just like Cam Akers had to as well. Marshawn Lloyd, USC. Running back. This one's a little bit of a lazy comp, but I don't really care because they look very similarly. He's a weapon. He is not a running back. He doesn't have a good feel for the running back position. I see a lot of Ronald Jones in him. He could be a big gasher. He could be physical. He's got the size for both and the speed for both. Will he do it successfully? That's where I have my doubts. And that's why I feel a lot of similar qualities between Ronald Jones and what you saw with Marshawn Lloyd. One of my favorite pass catching capability backs in this year's class, Michael Wiley out of Arizona. I see a lot of an Arizona State running back that had success for the first time in his career this last year, Rashad White. Prototypical size on both of them. They both coming out were the best running backs, pass catchers. I stand by the fact that Michael Wiley has the best hands and route running ability in this year's class at running back. Very weird career for Michael Wiley. Not a lot of rushing success and rushing attempts, but when he's asked to be a pass catcher, he is a difference maker. And that's why I see very similar veins. If someone wanted to give him a lot of carries, I think they would be surprised at what they got with Michael Wiley. Same vein as Rashad White. I just want to see it at the next level and see the draft capital. Hopefully a good landing spot as well. Next running back is Mayan Williams out of OSU. It reminds me of Michael Turner. This one's an easy one. He is just the definition of a bowling ball running back, a guy that just can take punishment and give it out like nobody's business. Very physical, underrated in the pass game, but athleticism is extremely limited. So you have to grind it out in a good, true power system with Mayan Williams if you want to see success. Next running back, finally landed on a comp for one of my favorite backs in this year's class. Feel good about it. It's the same type of one-cut gasher that you see a lot of times with other running backs that I typically like. Rasheen Ali at a Marshall reminds me so much of Daryl Henderson, a true weapon due to his athleticism. Very underrated runner. For some reason, never caught on in the NFL. I don't know if it was a playbook thing. We never really understood why he wasn't getting the carries, because when he was, and when they did give him the lion's share, he always popped off long runs, always had success for the Rams, and now it's just bounced around the last couple of years. Very interesting prospect, but I see a lot of Rasheen Ali in Daryl Henderson and vice versa. Going on to the next running back, final three, Mr. Ray Davis out of University of Kentucky, athletically limited, bruising running back with above average pass caping capabilities. I just want to see what he does as both a older prospect, as well as coming off of a couple minor lower body injuries. Ray Davis reminds me a lot of Kerryon Johnson, same type of play. And you could see the same similar success as long as, I mean, if Kerryon's knees hadn't exploded, he would still be in the NFL. He was that good. Ray Davis, very good. He just has to prove he can do it at the next level with limited athleticism in the same vein that Kerryon was able to. Trey Benson, FSU. Typically, comps like this are lofty. They're not super reliable when you do it, especially with very recent guys. But I see a lot of Kenneth Walker in Trey Benson. Big play ability for days. Surprising athleticism when people said he wasn't that good of an athlete. Basically, identical athletic matrix when you're comparing Kenneth Walker and Trey Benson. And then they have production for days, just like how Kenneth Walker produced when he moved on to Michigan State. You saw it with FSU and Trey Benson. Very, very fun prospect, and he's my top back in this year's class for a reason. That's why he has the loftiest of goals here, with Kenneth Walker being his comp. And then the last running back I want to touch on is Will Shipley out of Clemson. I see a lot of Kenneth Gainwell. Question marks due to athleticism for Will Shipley, even though his testing was better than some would say it is. Shorter back, but has a good build, right around 200 pounds, very similar to Kenneth Gainwell, a plus in the Kenneth Gainwell mold in the passing game on third down. It's, can he stick on a team and show he can run a little bit better than what he does would be my question. Anyone who tells you he's Christian McCaffrey is crazy, because McCaffrey as a runner is better, even though McCaffrey isn't that good of a runner. So it's just something to consider. But Kenneth Gainwell is what I get with Will Shipley. Very similar ways they would be used at the next level. I just think he's a compliment back, not a true, grinded out three down back at the next level. All right, moving on to the wide receiver position. The first man of note in alphabetical order is none other than A.D. Adonai Mitchell out of the University of Texas. This one will start off a wide list here of guys that I think are going to have a lot of success. And you'll see a lot of pretty good to above average comps on most of these wide receivers I'm going to talk to you about. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas reminds me of T. Higgins, extremely smooth operator, extremely smooth route runner with the ability to separate that is above average, and it always looks fluid. He is a great contested catch ability guy, and he scores touchdowns like it is the only thing he cares about. See a lot of T. Higgins and A.D. Mitchell. Next wide receiver is Brendan Rice out of USC. I see a lot of Van Jefferson. Overarching good game, but a very inconsistent player. Has deep speed that can surprise people on a regular basis, but doesn't always show the ability to separate. Have question marks as to his true athleticism in a similar vein to Van Jefferson, but very solid player. Can be very successful and as a rotational dynasty asset for your team. I think that's something that Brendan Rice easily could do at the next level. Mr. Brian Thomas, Jr. out of LSU. Inconsistent hands when it comes to underneath routes and an inability to break down on routes early, i.e. doing curls, comebacks, that type of thing. But that's not how you're going to use him. You're going to lean on that big-bodied frame with the elite speed. See a lot of Christian Watkins in Brian Thomas, Jr. Some people might hate that, but that's a lot of what I see in Brian Thomas, Jr. Next guy, Devontae Walker to UNC. Take everything I said about Brian Thomas Jr. and then take it down a couple notches with the overarching ceiling. Has a lot of physical traits, physical abilities, and his double move is extremely well, but I'm pretty sure vertical routes are the only way you're going to be able to use this guy. Reminds me a lot of Denzel Mims. Again, people may hate that, but there was some off the field and some weird studying stuff apparently with Denzel Mims that kind of ate away at some of it, but that's kind of what I see as Devontae Walker. He's a Denzel Mims type prospect when he was coming out of Baylor. Mr. Isaiah Williams out of the University of Illinois. So my comp, I gave you this one earlier and I was like, yeah, it's too aggressive. People are really not going to like that one. So I made it a little bit more grounded. Athletically, very fun after the catch, rack ability guy. I see a lot of Jalen Camp. He's a guy that's been on Tampa Bay the last 2 years, has been some fun gadgety plays. I think you could see a very similar vein of production for Isaiah Williams on a guy that I like a lot, but I don't think the NFL is going to be absolutely in love with. Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, already did this comp on the episode as well. Same with Isaiah Williams, but I think it's a lot of Calvin Austin, an undersized pop guy with tons of speed, but his usability underneath just isn't there. Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross. This is this year's David Bell. Athleticism, question marks everywhere. Don't know that he can separate against better competition, but let me tell you, dude catches pretty much everything and was a reliable underneath blanket. You just hope that he is not stuck on a team with four guys that play the same role as him in the same vein that David Bell was. Jamari Thrash, Louisville, not going to go into this one. Another guy, again, we're in the J's now, so most of these next couple names were on my mid-tier list that I talked about last time. Reminds me a lot of Wandale Robinson. Deep speed, tons of run after the catch ability, but not a ton of yak ability. Yards after contact, he can shake and bake you a lot, but his frame is always going to be limiting. He will throw his body around and it's fun to watch, but the violence has its limits. Javon Baker out of UCF reminds me a lot of Jalen Tolbert, just kind of an underwhelming wide receiver with inconsistent hands and inconsistent athleticism, but his ability to separate against lesser competition was obviously there. You see the highlight reel type of catches, the same vein as Tolbert had in college, but I think you're looking at the same track record. Jalen Polk. This one is one of my favorite comps that I have. Polk is a glass eater, really, really good underneath. A little bit of a surprising athletic profile, not as electric as his teammate in Roma Dunze, but Jalen Polk will do all the underneath work, all the nitty-gritty, and if you need him on the outside in a pinch, he can do it. Coming out reminds me a lot of James Washington, not a crazy comp based off of NFL production, but James Washington was misused, I think, a lot. He was a very, very good player in college. Kind of question marks about the route stem, but as a true big, bulky, beat you up slot, I think that's what you're going to get in Jalen Polk. Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, already went on this one too. Jonathan Mingo, athletic profile is great, an underwhelming production profile, but the body of work and his ability will get him elevated on draft boards. I like him a lot more than most people do. He's just a fun watch and a very solid wide receiver two, wide receiver three at the next level. Johnny Wilson also went into depth on last week's episode. Chase Claypool, see a lot of it. People don't know how to use him, but he's a big bodied wide receiver that can be a true first down mover, a chain mover. That's what you're going to get from him. He has athleticism and the reach to outplay a lot of people. You just want him to be a little bit more physical for some reason. He will extend for plays, but he's not going to play bully ball quite as much as some of the other guys do. Josh Cephas out of UTSA also went in depth on the last week's episode. As you know, this wide receiver class is super deep. A lot of these middle ground guys, I gave you all the pretty nuggets on last week's episode. I see a lot of Josh Reynolds, an undersized when it comes to weight, so I guess underweight wide receiver that is 6'3", will catch absolutely everything and will torch you if you're not careful with his speed. His run after catch ability is very nice. I see a lot of Josh Reynolds in Josh Cephas. Keon Coleman at FSU. This one's probably going to trigger some people, but I actually liked Rashad Bateman a lot when he was coming out, and this year's class is just a lot deeper than the class that Rashad Bateman was coming out in. I see a lot of Bateman in him. An underwhelming athletic profile. He can be used as an underneath guy. He has a great first step in separation ability, quick, but if he's not the funnel target in your offense in your first read, you're going to have concerns about his overall usability. That's what you're getting in Keon Coleman. That's what we have gotten with Rashad Bateman. Ladd McConkey, University of Georgia, an underused wide receiver with the frame, speed, and route running capabilities to project at the next level to have success. But that's what you have to do. You have to project it. Michael Wilson from last year, a lot of Michael Wilson and Ladd McConkey. If he falls in a similar capacity with a good quarterback like Kyler, you have great upside. If he falls in a bad situation with a bad quarterback with bad accuracy, very different results for Mr. Ladd McConkey, but a very similar projection model of what I had to do last year for Michael Wilson. Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, big, beefy, underneath slot mover. Can separate better than most underneath, will be a true funnel target option for an offense in the slot, can be a wide receiver one from the slot. Juju Smith-Schuster, you can put him outside if you need to, but that's not where you want to put him. That's what I see. Juju landed on that a couple weeks ago, and I feel really good about that. This is where it starts to get, I would say, controversial. People aren't going to like this comp that I have for Malik Nabers, but when it comes to separation capability, I will also preface the fact that I had this guy as my wide receiver two in the class that he was drafted in, so I think a lot more than most people do, but coming out as prospects with sure-handedness, separation, a production profile that's great, and the ability to be used all over the field, Malik Nabers to me is very, very similar to Elijah Moore. I think you can see a very similar type of overarching scheme fit that you would do. The same things you would do with Malik Nabers, you will also do with Elijah Moore, that type of thing. Malik Washington, University of Virginia, one-year massive producer, consistent producer, but nothing otherworldly the previous couple of years, but he can be used as a running back, as a slot option, and as an outside option. He's got speed, explosion, everything you want from a wide receiver, except for height. It's the only concern that you have. Reminds me a lot of Curtis Samuel. That's been my comp for the last couple months. Very high on Malik Washington out of Virginia. Marvin Harrison Jr., his game and his athletic profile, his sure-handedness, 75% versus 25% ball contested catching capability, and just the smooth operation and the just unbelievable ability to get open and get ready for it. Underrated athleticism as well. Nuke Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins, that's what you're getting in Marvin Harrison Jr. Lock it up. I know there's a lot of question marks for the wide receivers, how you want to rank it. A lot of talks about the other guys usurping him. Marvin Harrison doesn't have any holes in the game. It's the definition of prospect fatigue with Marvin Harrison Jr. Anyone who tells you otherwise is really selling themselves short on a guy that is like guaranteed to be a Pro Bowler at the next level. All right, Ricky Pearsall out of the University of Florida. Very high on Ricky Pearsall, very good separator, very good athlete, very good size, just didn't have a ton of production in college. I see the same separation ability, and as long as he can stay healthy, we'll see a better career than even this guy was. But Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma is what I see with Ricky Pearsall, and that anyone who was scouting back then will tell you that is a very fun comp and a very, very exciting and enticing type of mindset to have on Ricky Pearsall, because Sterling Shepard coming out, if he hadn't dealt with the injuries, we'd be talking about him in a very different lane than what we are now. Roman Wilson out of Michigan, already did this one a while back too. He reminds me of Sky Moore, not in on the hype like everyone else is. He's an under the radar separator is what I would say slightly, but it's only underneath. He has some speed to beat on the outside, but inconsistent hands, inconsistent actual route running capabilities. It's more of just separating in kind of an ugly way. Plus the production leaves a lot to be desired. Sky Moore is my comp for him, not in love with him. Roman Duzé out of Washington, like his teammate Polk, he has physical aspects of his game. He's a true great route runner and technician now, so he's even a little bit better than what his comp is, in my opinion. I like him more than what I did when he was coming out, but I see a lot of Garrett Wilson in Roma Dunze. That's kind of where I'm landing with him. People want to comp him to Larry Fitzgerald, everything like that. You're just hoping that he becomes that, but you can't just comp him to a Hall of Famer. He's also a better athlete than they were. Garrett Wilson, remember how high you were on Garrett Wilson when he was coming out? Now think about Roma Dunze, you'll realize they're very similar profiles. You just, for some reason, like the other guys more. Nothing wrong with it, but that's the level of prospect you're getting. No reason Roma Dunze can't go into a team, even with a bad quarterback, be the wide receiver one as a true funnel target and get you over 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns this year. looking for that Garrett Wilson-esque rookie season. All right, Troy Franklin out of Oregon. It is a yak monster with the ball in his hands, yards after catch specifically. Inconsistent hands, though, which can be infuriating for a tunnel, a funnel target like he is, but his separation abilities and his athleticism is extremely underrated. He's being talked down a little bit, but I think that's going to be a mistake. Reminds me a ton of Deontay Johnson, the same vein, a true separator, gives you all the target cushion that you could ask for. It's just you better hope he catches the ball. Can take the top off of a defense as well, turn that slant into a 60-yard touchdown very easily. Deontay Johnson is a lot like Troy Franklin. And then the two Xaviers round out this list, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina and Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Xavier Leggett, this one, actually, I'm surprised people aren't talking about it more. A little bit raw when it comes to an actual route running capability, but the physicality, the my ball mentality, the ability to break tackles, that type of aspect, and be used in a lot of different ways. People are trying to comp him to Debo. They should be comping him to Treylon Burks. Not a super popular one I've heard at all anywhere, but I see a lot of similarities. I was pretty high on Burks coming out. I'm still equally as high on Leggett. It's just this class, like I said, is a lot better than that class was. And so that's the type of mold I think you're looking at with Leggett. You hope that that 1 year of success we've seen recently can be better at the next level, and we'll see it consistently. And you hope he stays healthy like Treylon Burks was not able to. And then Xavier Worthy feels lazy. I don't really care. You look at the numbers, you look at the production in college, you look at the athletic comps, the size, the abilities, the question marks. Xavier Worthy is John Ross. And so you're either going to see him improve or you're going to see a same type of speed demon pan out as John Ross did with Cincinnati. Moving on to tight end, my final 10 players here at the tight end position. The first one in alphabetical order is none other than Ben Sinat. I see a lot of Hunter Long out of Boston College coming out in Ben Sinat, an underrated ability to sit down in the zone, very solid hands, very solid route runner, and can be used as a weapon all over the field. Hunter Long didn't pan out due to some serious lower body injuries. I'm hoping Ben Sinat can be a lot more successful. Brevin Span Ford Wheaton out of Minnesota. Massive dude, mover, but definitely a jump ball guy. Still learning the position, so a little bit raw, but can be a very fun red zone piece for you. Colby Parkinson, the 6'8 monster that was formerly in Seattle, who is now with the Los Angeles Rams as their tight end one while, Tyler Higbee comes back from an injury. Brock Bowers, this is one I feel pretty confident about. People were like super high and are super high on Brock Bowers. I see so much of Tyler Eifert in Brock Bowers. That's what you could get. So if you keep the health, you remember those electric seasons with Tyler Eifert, that's what you could be getting from Brock Bowers. Very similar game, very similar size. Bowers might be a little bit smaller, but a little bit better of an athlete than what Eifert was. But the hands are there, the usability, the smarts are there. He's just a good, crazy good football player is what I would say. Next, tight end, Cade Stover out of OSU. More of a blocking guy, a kind of gridded out H-back type of mold is what I would say with Cade Stover. Solid hands if thrown to, but a limited athlete. Tommy Trimble, very similar to what I see Cade Stover as. Dallin Hooker out of Colorado State. Hayden Hurst, he's an older prospect, can be a ton of targets can go to a Dallin Hooker, and that's what he saw in college, that Colorado State loves to feature their tight end, but extremely athletically limited. Hayden Hurst is the same vein, very reliable hands when you throw to him, a good zone sitting tight end, but he's not going to break the top off the offense, and you really have to focus on getting him targets if you want him to be fantasy relevant at the next level. Jatavion Sanders, a raw athlete with decent hands, but questionable separation ability with that athlete. Eric Ebron out of Detroit. That's the type of ceiling I think you could see from Jatavion Sanders. Another comp that I liked a lot was Irv Smith Jr., but the injuries make that one a hard one. Those are the two closest comps coming out that I remember for Jatavion Sanders. Jaheim Bell, this one's actually really easy. Underperforming guy that every time you see him with the ball in his hand, he has the capability of popping off a 70-yard touchdown. Chigakwonkwo, just A-B comparison right there, just super easy. But Jaheim Bell out of Florida State, very reminiscent of Okwonkwo. Same limitations of a true tight end actually there when it comes to blocking, but the pass catching and move tight end capability are all there. Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona, a big guy, very underrated athleticism and hands, very, very, very good blocker. Noah Gray with Kansas City. He's their second tight end. I've seen a lot of Noah Gray. That's what I see in Tanner McLaughlin. If Noah Gray was on another team as a true number one guy over Kelsey, I think we would see a lot more from his game. Just haven't seen it in Kansas City unless Kelsey goes down. Every time he's been injured, Noah Gray's had some pretty solid success. Last two, Theo Johnson, Penn State. I see a lot of Tyler Conklin, gritty, but very, very good mover. He's a very underrated athlete, and he catches absolutely anything that goes to him. He was underutilized in college, the same vein as Tyler Conklin was, but when he has a good quarterback and is used as a primary tight end, we saw the success that you can get from Tyler Conklin as well, both in Minnesota and in New York last year. And then the last one on the list, and the last of these 74 prospects, is Mr. Trey Knox out of South Carolina. Athletic testing wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. It's the same vein for a bigger guy that I have him comped as. Same question marks, but can be a true red zone threat because he catches absolutely everything. He separates better than people want to give him credit for. And even if he isn't the best testing speed athlete, I think on-field athlete, you see what he can do. Reminds me a lot of Jordan Akins in his time in Houston when he had Deshaun Watson. That was his favorite target. You could see a lot of similarities between Trey Knox and Jordan Akins. But that's it, guys. 45 minutes, 74 prospects, comps for all of them, and why the comps are there. Stay tuned for next week's episode where I'm going to be diving into the actual tier breakdowns, why certain thresholds are met versus not met for players in that tier and just below it, and what to expect for the NFL draft, which when that episode drops will be under a week away. So it's been fun talking. Until next week, have a good time, guys.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing!
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.